You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host, Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Monday morning if you're hearing this on the radio here today. And I say that because this podcast is uploaded on Saturday. So if you have tuned in on the radio, God bless you. I hope you've had a wonderful weekend. You are tuned in to WGOD Radio. That's my name for this program, as I've come to the realization that God is always broadcasting. And being a broadcaster, being in radio 20 years now and in ministry for 15 years, if I had my own radio station, that's what I would name it. It would be WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. God's always broadcasting. My question to you is, are you tuned in to his frequency? Well, guess what? You are now. For 15 minutes, we're tuning in to God's frequency. We are tuning in to where God speaks, and that is through his word. I know the secret. I share it with you. Here today and this week, at least Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to hear the next sermon in this series now of these seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. Today, we're looking at the corrupt church. The church is in Thyatira. The Lord Jesus says unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, right? These things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. We're going to see and look at this week the Lord's instructions to the corrupt church. Now, the church apparently was having a problem with some woman teacher there, perhaps the pastor's wife. My Bible translation, most Greek manuscripts say, you put up with your wife Jezebel. We're going to look who this Jezebel was, at least to the best of our understanding, and what she was doing there to corrupt this church. The message this week, the corrupt church, not only of Thyatira, but the corrupt church here of today. Are you a member of the corrupt church? Hopefully we're going to find that out here this week. Here is part one now of this message. We're looking today at the corrupt church. Roy asked me earlier, his knees shaking, you don't mean us, do you? No, not us, no. No, we're not corrupt. We're going to look at what makes a corrupt church here today. So today we're going to travel to Thyatira. Now Thyatira, 40 miles southeast of where we left off last week, that was Pergamos. Last week was the worldly church, right? Last week. Now today, the corrupt church. Now Thyatira is situated in an area noted for its abundant crops and the manufacture of purple dye. Lydia was from Thyatira. If you remember in the book of Acts, Paul met her and was one of the first converts there. Now, the church is very small, and it was singled out for this penetrating letter of rebuke. Indeed, the corrupt church will receive a penetrating letter of rebuke from our Lord. A rebuke because he loves them, and he doesn't want to see them destroy themselves. So let's go to Thyatira. Let's snoop and read their mail.
as we did last week. As we did last week, let's modernize this a little bit if we need to. And let's see if we can find any current issues in the church today that would have historians call us a corrupt church. What makes a church corrupt? Let's see what made this church corrupt. Revelation chapter 2, it's on the handout, or if you'd like to turn there, Revelation chapter 2, we're starting today in verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, right? These things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. All right, these things says the Son of God. So much for the doctors of theology on the TV who say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Have you ever heard that muck on TV? Let me see if I get this right. The demons believe he's the Son of God. Jesus says he's the Son of God, but the Christians on the television don't believe he's the Son of God. Who are you going to believe? It's always the doctors in theology, if you watch them sometimes on these ungodly channels. Well, some of the, like National Geographic or some of these other non-Christian, you know, in search of the real Jesus. They got all these people with more degrees than Kellogg's. He's got cornflakes. And they say, well, after deep study, we've come to the conclusion that Jesus never said he was God. All right. Thus says the Son of God. What do you do with that? He is God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the son of an Esposito. I am an Esposito. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is God. And Thomas bowed the knee to him and said, my Lord and my God. Thus says the Son of God. Once again, he's following the pattern of all these letters. He starts with a description of himself taken from the first chapter. Thus says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, steely eyes, penetrating eyes, the eyes that can see right through you. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And his feet are like fine brass, signifying strength and purity. The Greek word here is kalkolibano. It's a very rare word in Greek. It seems to have been an alloy of a number of metals characterized by brilliance when you shined it, or when polished. Okay, next up, the commendation. Verse 19. I know thy works and charity or love. I know your works and love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. Uh-oh, he must have forgotten. He just said works a second ago. Not. I know thy works and love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. And the last is more than the first. So that's his list here, six things. I know your works, I know your love, I know your service, I know your faith, I know your endurance or patience, and works again. He lifts it twice, in case you didn't hear him the first time. One translation says, I can see your constant improvement in all things. Notice the importance of works. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man says he has faith but has not works, can faith save him? All right, now he's anticipating you giving a negative answer to that. No, it can't. You see, this is why Martin Luther hated the Epistle of James. He called it an epistle of straw. And he put it after the book of Revelation in the original German Bible. He didn't like that. He didn't like what he just said here. Again, let me read that verse to you. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith, but he has not works, can faith save him? He's not anticipating you saying yes. He's anticipating you saying no. He goes on. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Then it says, being alone. So, is your faith all alone today on a desert island? Is your faith all alone today? If it is, my advice, encouragement to you is fix it. So my old pastor always used to say to me, anytime you run into one of these problems, he'd say, fix it. Is your faith all alone today? Fix it. Join to your faith works. Hear it all the time. No works around here, brother. Well, you need to fix that. You were created for good works. How could you not have good works if you are a Christian? Is your faith all alone on a desert island, living by itself, waiting for the rapture, not doing anything? Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. All right, so this church is commended for their works twice even. Now, notice this is the opposite of the church in Ephesus. He's flipped the script here with this church here. It's opposite. They're commended for their love. Ephesus said they had left their first love. This group is commended for their love and for their service. Greek word is diakonos. In English, it means deacon. Here at Island today, we're going to vote on another deacon here in about 30 minutes. Or 45 minutes. Or an hour. That is Brother Darren over here, who will be recognized here as a servant or deacon. His wife Sharon will be happy to know the word deacon means to wait tables. Maybe he can get in some reps after he gets home today. They're commended. They're also commended for what the King James calls patience. Greek word hupomone. You've heard me many times preach on this. Hupomone, patience, perseverance, oomph, gumption. Right? Check it out. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces oomph, gumption, spiritual fortitude. Or in other words, look out world. Right? To use one of my favorite sayings. God is for us. Who can be against us?
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with Him daily and is tuned in to His frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. I love to hear the voice of God.